Welcome to the What I've Learned and Where I'm Going section of Broadcast Composition Using Audio Files in Podcasts and Online Writing course. It seemed fitting to me to conclude my presentation here with an audio file of my own. This is a MP4 formatted file, a so-called enhanced podcast, which is why hopefully you're seeing some pictures while you're listening to this. Let me start by saying I think that making the audio files was ultimately worth it. Sure, the survey results were more mixed than I would have preferred, but even within that survey, my sense is that for the students who did listen to some of or all of the audio files, it was a handy study aid for the reading, and it was a way of them getting a sense of who I was as a teacher. Students also, I've learned from this process, need to be encouraged to listen to the files in the first place. Part of my optimism about these audio files comes from my perceptions or gut feelings about what happened in my winter 2006 version of the class and what's happening in my current version of the class right now. I haven't surveyed these students yet, but the sense I'm getting is, for a variety of reasons, I think that more students are taking advantage of these recordings. In any event, I think that students need to be encouraged and give a reason to listen to the audio files. They need to see them as something that's really useful and that isn't something that's just an extra they just don't have time for. Quality matters, and quality takes time and practice when it comes to making these recordings. As I listen back to many of these files now, I have to say some of them are pretty poor. I don't think that students are expecting professional studio quality recordings or jazzy jingles or whatever, but I do think that my students, even though they are basically a captured audience, are like everyone else. They don't want to listen to someone like me just rambling on endlessly. So I might be being a little hard on myself with these initial recordings, but it's also pretty clear to me that just talking was not going to do it. In other words, this is a sort of rambling way of me saying that my experiences have been that making the recordings took a lot more time and practice than I anticipated, at least if I wanted to make them well. More study is needed. That's pretty much what anybody says after conducting a little survey like I did, right? But I do think there's some truth to it. It seems like a good idea to include multimedia and online settings like this, at least at the face value measure of things. And while I'm a little dubious of the whole different learning strategies that some writers talk about, I suppose it makes a certain amount of sense. But while this does seem like common sense, how much do we really know about the usefulness of these kinds of files? And assuming that the whole it makes sense thing turns out to be the case, what are the ways we can make audio and other media files make the most sense to our online teaching? As far as I can tell, this is an area, at least in English studies, where there really does need to be a lot more research. Now, as far as the podcasting goes, first off, I think that my entry into the world of podcasting helped encourage students to listen to the audio files I had on the class website for the winter and spring/summer terms, which is when I really started using podcasting in earnest. I don't really have any tangible evidence here. It falls in that category of gut feeling, needs to be studied more. Certainly, though, this has been true in my current spring/summer versions of the class, where I gave students specific instructions on how to subscribe to the class podcast with iTunes, and also where I spent some time explaining how to use the audio files that are on part of the website and how I think they would help with their understanding the reading, which gets into the territory of if you give people a reason, they will actually listen to the audio files. Second, I think that AudioBlogger, which I explained in the podcasting section, was very easy to work with. Well, it was easy to work with, I should say, when it was working right, which, because it is a bit buggy. And once I was able to set up the right kind of RSS feed with FeedBurner, I was really surprised at how easy it was to get my feed registered with iTunes and such. At the same time, I think AudioBlogger is kind of limiting technology because it only works with a sort of on-the-fly variety of podcasting. After all, you're talking on the phone, you only have about 5 minutes or so. I suppose I could record more elaborate and formal classroom notes this way, but it doesn't seem quite right to me, or at least it doesn't seem right with the way that I imagine audio files for my class. Oh, and it's also worth mentioning that these technologies that allow you to record audio and video on the fly and pretty much for free are coming online all the time. As I mentioned in the podcast section of my site here, Audio and its suite of tools looks particularly interesting. It allows for recording to the web, recording with video, etc. So, the increased availability of cool and easy-to-use new tools and just a general computer literacy means that I probably will want to find at least some role for student podcasts and future versions of this online class. In the current term of writing style and technology, I'm experimenting by asking students to post at least one of their blog assignments, which I kind of use like a journal assignment with different prompts, as an audio blogger post in one of the extra credit options for the course, which is also something I'm experimenting with this term, is to set up a full-blown podcast with an RSS feed and registered on iTunes and the whole bit. I want to do this so that students gain some basic understanding of an important communication technology, and also to once again give students a chance to make better connections with each other, the community issue, once again, that's so important in online classes. But so far, no one has taken me up on these assignments. And I guess I'm somewhat leery of forcing the issue on the online class. Beside the technical barriers, I feel like I'm putting students on the spot a bit. I don't think you can say that recording a podcast is the same as making students participate in a class discussion, since that audio file is out there for the world to hear, and a lot of people, including myself, I'd say, just don't want to listen to the sound of their own voice on a recording on a podcast that'll be there forever, as opposed to just someone talking in the class. And of course, I'd like to encourage students to actually listen to some of their podcasts too. Which brings me back again to the common sense aspect of all this. Even when it probably makes some sense to use multimedia tools like podcasts and online classes, I think it would probably be a lot easier to have students themselves complete multimedia projects in more traditional face-to-face courses, and I think this for a couple of reasons. First, a lot of students just don't have at home the hardware and software you need to make effective multimedia, especially things beyond simple audio podcasts. That's where a campus computer lab could really come in handy. And second, I think a face-to-face class would offer better opportunities for students to collaborate, which would in turn would allow for different student roles. So the student who didn't feel comfortable with recording his or her own voice could take on another role in the group. And besides that, completing these multimedia files can be very time-consuming, and dividing that up in a more collaborative atmosphere, which is more possible in a face-to-face class, might be a pretty good idea. And finally, some related technologies I hope will be coming soon in my teaching in this class and other classes. First, there's more enhanced podcasts like this one, especially as I get more students able to use software like iTunes or QuickTime on their computers so that they can listen and watch the enhanced podcast. I think the possibilities of mixing audio and images like this is pretty obvious, and software like GarageBand and iMovie make it pretty easy to do as well. And then there's screencasting, which I think of as creating a movie file of whatever it is that you're doing on the computer screen. This is especially useful technology for creating tutorials or how to do things with computers. At least that's how I imagine using it in my teaching. The link on the website, Screencasting to Help Your Mom, has a nice summary of how screencasting works and the various software options. Finally, as the know-how and the hardware and software become more common, I'm hoping to build more of these projects into my classes. I guess that's kind of obvious, though. Now, I think it's important that we don't move full-time into audio and video production. I mean, the class is still called Writing Style and Technology, and I think that the writing part, the words in a row part, is still really important and still should be central to what it is that we do. But I also think that audio and video projects fit right into a class like this, especially given the focus on the relationships between style and technology. You know, in the old days, say the mid-1990s, folks like me were trying to point out that whenever we create a website, we have to be aware of and use graphics because the web is as much about the visual medium as it is about the text. Well, with podcasts and beyond, the web is also a medium that we need to listen to and we need to be watching because it's in motion. Anyways, that's my presentation, my website, my audio files. Thanks for reading and listening, and I hope it was useful, and I hope you get a chance to try some of this stuff on your own.